I think it's going to increase even more because of hard labor. Lokam,
Lokam,
planet.
Vikuntam,
Vikuntam, the spiritual sky.
Upanishadi,
Upanishadi, be awarded, awarded.
Be awarded.
Gokulam,
Gokulam,
the highest planet.
Ma,
certainly.
Certainly.
Translation and first four volumes, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna saved his foster father Nanda from the fear of the demigod Varuna and released the coward boys from the caves in the mountains. For they were placed there by the son of Maya. Who is the son of Maya who was placed in there? Yomasura. Yoma, one who flies in the sky. He flew in the sky. Krishna finally grabbed him and popped out and burst with the balloon. Said he tried to escape, but Krishna kept on clutching him and just squeezed him. Also, to the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are busy working during daytime and sleeping soundly at night with their hard labor in the day, Lord Krishna awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky. All these acts are transcendental and certainly prove, without any doubt, his godhood. Purport. Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Lord Krishna, wanted to take his bath in the river Yamuna in the dead of night, mistakenly thinking that the night was over, already over. Thus the demigod Varuna took him to the Varuna planet just to have a look at the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who appeared there to release his father. Actually, there was no rest in Nanda Maharaj by Varuna, because the inhabitants of Vrindavan were always engaged in thinking of Krishna in constant meditation on the personality of Godhead in a particular form of samadhi or trance of bhakti yoga. They had no fear of the miseries of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that to be in association with the personality of Godhead by full surrender in transcendental love frees one from the miseries inflicted by the laws of material nature. Here it is clearly mentioned that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were extensively busy in hard labor of their day's work, and due to the day's hard labor, they were engaged in sound sleeping at night. So practically, they had very little time to devote to meditation or to the other paraphernalia of spiritual activities. But factually, they were engaged in the highest spiritual activities only. Everything done by them was spiritualized because everything was dovetailed in their relationship with Lord Krishna. The essential point of activities was Krishna, and as such, the so-called activities in the material world were saturated with spiritual potency. That is the way, an advantage of the way of bhakti yoga. One should discharge one's duty on Lord Krishna's behalf, and all one's actions will be saturated with Krishna thought, the highest pattern of trance and spiritual realization. Nandam Shamokshati Vaya Varna Sipashad Gopandileshu Pihitam Maya Shunacha Anyakritam Nishi Shayam Adikshamena Lokam Vikuntam Upanishati Gokulam Sma. Lord Krishna saved his foster father Nanda Maharaj from the fear of the demigod Varuna and released the coward boys from the caves of the mountain. They were placed there by the son of Maya. Also to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were busy working during daytime and sleeping soundly at night because of their hard labor in the day, Lord Krishna awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky. All these acts are transcendental and certainly prove without any doubt his godhood. Om Vishnu Devaya Krishna Purushottama Devaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhaname Namaste Sarasvatam Deva Gauravani Visharane Nirvishay Sharasvam Nivadi Pasya Dhyaya Deva Sitarane. This verse explains about the ultimate purpose of material existence. The ultimate purpose of material existence is known as Apavargasya. As it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, second chapter, verse 9, Garmasi hiyapavargasya nartaur ta yopakalpate nartasya daimaitantasya kamo labai hismritaha. So this word apavargasya, freedom, that dharmasya, religion is meant for freedom from pavargasya. Apa means negation of pavargasya. There are five different vargas, known as the ta varga, the cha varga, the ti varga, the ta varga, and pa varga. And there are five letters in pa vargas, known as pa, 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 and ma. So apa vargas means to get free from pa, pa, ba, pa, and ma. So pa means to work very, prashama. Prashama, just like here we have atishrama. So prashrama or prashrama means to work very hard. In the material world, everyone has to work hard. Even to get money, one has to work very hard. If one is very rich, it doesn't mean he doesn't have to work. Still he has to work. Everyone in the material world has something to do. And after working very hard, just like in horse or other animals, then there's pe-nila. Pe-nila means there's foam coming from the mouth. Pa. So this pa is prashrama. And then there's pe-nila. There's foam coming from the mouth. And after the foam comes from the mouth, then there is vyarta, which means frustration or exhaustion. That's the pa, pa, ba, vyarta, exhaustion, frustration. And finally, well not finally, then after that, there is fear, bias. And finally, there's ma, or mrityu, death. Material world means that one is working hard, foam comes from the mouth, one is frustrated, because ultimately one is not satisfied. One does not actually achieve the desired end, which is happiness, satisfaction. And after the frustration, there is fear, because everything one has worked for will ultimately be destroyed, taken away. And finally, there is ma, mrityu, or death. So, religion, that real religion, means to negate this pavargasya. Therefore, it's called apavargasya. Therefore, dharma, or religion is actually meant for apavargasya. Dharmasya, apavargasya, nartorta yopakalpate. It's certainly not meant for artha or the end. Na artha means the end. Artasya upakalpate. It is not meant for material gain. Generally, people in the material world think that religion is simply a way, if I act religiously or righteously, it's a way of making some material gain. Otherwise, what is the purpose of religion? If I can get material gain without going to the church, then why go to the church? Therefore, in most places in this world presently, instead of building churches, they build banks. I grew up in a street which was called Church Avenue. But after some time, they replaced all the churches with banks. Because instead of going to the church and praying to God for bread, people could go to the bank and pray to one of the managers there for bread. For a loan, at least. can get some breath. And for Narakasya, the one who's engaged in the ultimate purpose of religion, Narakasya Dharma Kantasya, Dharma Eka and Arakasya, or Dharma Kantasya, one who's engaged in the ultimate purpose of activities of religion, then Kamalavaihi Smritiha, then Smrita, the sages, learned persons, those who have some memory. And memory means real memories, Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, when our Krishna asks him. As I mentioned before, Krishna asks one question in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks a lot, but Krishna asks one question. So what is the one question that Krishna asks? He doesn't ask who I am. He asks another question. Yes. So there's actually several questions. First of all, he asks him, Kachit Eka Shutam Parata. Have you heard what I've said? More or less, have you been awake during this? Are you going to say, what? What did you say? What book was that? Where are we? So that's why he asks, Kachit Shutam, which is Shutam, have you heard? Kachit Eka. Eka means, have you only heard this, or is your mind been wandering all over the world of the universe while I've been talking to you? Thinking, you know, what time is this battle over so we can eat? What's for prasadam? What? I've got to work hard on the battlefield. What's for prasadam? Kachit Eka Chutam Parada Vaya Kagrena Chetasa Kachit Agana. Agana, ignorance. Sambhuta. Kachit Agana. Pranataste Dhananjaya. So you've heard this with your mind of perfect attention, and is your illusion now destroyed, and ignorance now destroyed? Samoha. So Kachit Agana Samoha Pranataste Dhananjaya. So Arjuna asks, yes, he agrees. Nashto Moha. Smritiya Lubdva. So my illusion has been destroyed. So what is our illusion? Our identification with this body, our thinking ourselves to have some other purpose than Krishna service. Smritiya Lubdva. Now I've realized who I am. My memory has been regained, that I'm actually Krishna's servant. So that's called smriti, so memory. So real memory is not to remember where we left our keys, although that may be a type of memory. That real memory means to remember that we're Krishna's servant. So those who remember such a thing, they're called the smritis. So kamo labhaya hi smritaha. So those who have actually understood dharma, the end of dharma, the purpose of dharma, the sages, the smritis, who have studied the Vedas, the shruti, and become understood it, they say that material gain, the purpose of it, is not for sense gratification, kama. It's for self-realization. Therefore, dharma, real dharma, means to engage oneself in the ultimate occupation of trying to serve Krishna. So here it says, what is the result of that? Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chetasa Sarva Karmani, Maya Sanyasi Matraha, Buddhiyo gam upashritya matspita satatam bhava. Then in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So Krishna says, be fully conscious of me. And we take it a little bit of time. So in all activities, not just some activities, Krishna recommends ananya cheta satatam yoma smarati nityasa. that one should remember Krishna 24 hours a day. That the one who is constantly engaged, Krishna says, Ananya Cheta Saradam Yoma Smarati Nityasa. One who is always engaged remembering him, then Krishna says, attaining him is very easy. Ananya Cheta Saradam Yoma Smarati Nityasa Tasyaham Subala Parata. Subala means it's quite simple. As opposed to Mahatmana Sumam Harda Daya Bhavanam Jananamande Gyana Van Man Prabhadante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sura Mahatma Sudurlabha. So even a very rare soul, the Mahatma, who is engaged in studying about Krishna, trying to figure out, is Krishna really God enough? Am I really supposed to really surrender to this cowherd boy, or this, you know, person on the altar with that flute? I mean, he's really the controller of everything. So when they study, try to understand things intellectually, Prabhupada says, especially by, first of all, use of our intelligence. The Krishna consciousness is actually then to, first of all, try to awaken our intelligence. Because most of us think we're quite intelligent. If someone says Krishna consciousness will awaken our intelligence, immediately become insulted. What does it mean? Awake my intelligence. There's no more, I don't see anyone more intelligent than I am. What is there to awaken? I'm practically made out of intelligence. So intelligence means to see things in the proper perspective. The Prabhupada gives the example many times that people are working hard to get money, and they think that's quite intelligent. One man, Prabhupada says in Bengali, is a question. Are you intelligent? One man asks another, and the man checks his pocket to see if he has any money. So if he has money in his pocket, he figures I must be intelligent. Otherwise, how did he get there? So people generally take intelligence as being getting material gain. But that's not considered to be actual intelligence according to the Bhagavad Gita, because with that money, what will they actually get? What is the advantage of having a lot of money? The ass, for instance, he's working hard all day long, carrying many, many tons of cloth in his back, or I don't know, tons, but many, many pounds of cloth, or kilos of cloth in his back. And at the end of the day, the washing man, he lets him out, and he can get a little grass. He can eat the grass beneath his feet. So for all that hard labor, all that prashrama, for all that pe neela, for all that foam, for all that vyartha, for all that frustration, for all that Baya, fear, and ultimately death, what does he get? Just a little grass beneath his feet. But even if he wasn't carrying so many heavy cloth on his back, still he could just reach down and get the few blades of grass that are beneath his feet anyhow. So this is called ass, mudha. That's why they use the word mudha or ass. So practically everyone is mudha, and some people are vimudha. But I'm already using the word vimuda, as I said before, super ass. It's like they have Superman. They also have super ass. Not an ordinary ass. Because as I said, this word muda, we don't understand the import. But in India, people are quite insulted if they use the word muda. Tell someone you're a mudha, they become very disturbed. As I mentioned before, one time I was at the airport, and one Christian gentleman from Kerala, Indian gentleman, Christian, just, I guess he was, so the Indians from Kerala who become Christians, they usually become 10 times more fanatical than the ordinary Christians for some reason. So he saw us distributing Bhagavad Gita in the airport and became very disturbed. He came over, he was trying to break up all the sales. So one of the devotees walked up and said, "You're a mudha." So he, Rafi, had a heart attack in the airport. He exploded. He said, "I'm a what? You're a mudha." So immediately he went to the police, brought the police over, and said, "He called me a mudha." So the policeman was not an expert. And he said, "He called you a what? A mudha." So the policeman just walked away. But there was quite a reaction on this Indian gentleman's part, being called a mudha. So mudha, what to speak of? You're a vimudha. You're a super ass. So Prahlad Maharaj said they're super asses because not only they're working hard to get their bread, but they're building a very elaborate arrangement in order to do it. Just like in modern society, people are very proud that they're making progress. So what is that progress? The progress is that instead of the wife spending her time at home taking care of the children, she also has to go out and get a job and work. No one can stay at home. Previously, the wife used to stay at home and cook, take care of the house. And if there were children, they grew up, they used to play, and then when they got a little older, they'd help the father. But now everyone has to work. Yes. Excuse me? Yes, except for the dog and cat. They come up, they stay there and they just bark all day. Anyone comes, they bark. So this is called Prahlad Maharaj, that is Vimudha. Generally people used to work before, they used to get some money, and they used to maintain their existence. There used to be some dharma, they relied on dharma. Then they get their artha, they work according to dharma. And generally they knew, anad bhavati bhutani. I'm working hard, but my main effort is to get some food. Anad. And to get food, it requires rain, and for rain, it requires some sacrifice. The demigods will provide rain in the right amount at the right time if there is religious principles of health. But people don't know that. So they're working hard not just for grains, they're working for their car, they're working for their buildings, the house. They're working just to maintain a house, 20 years, 30 years, paying off the mortgage, and by the time they finish paying it off, they have to retire. And all the kids moved out of the house anyhow. So the house is too big for them to maintain, and they're too old to maintain it. So generally they have to move into a small house. So they don't even live in the house when they finally pay it off. When it finally becomes their so-called their house, they don't even live in it anymore. And then they live a few years more and the house is sold and the kids use it to buy drugs. So that was their hard labor for so many years, paying off the mortgage, and it winds up in a waste of money. Waste of time. Therefore, it's called mudha. The man, he thinks he owns, hundreds of buildings. He has so much money. He owns a big skyscraper. But when he goes to sleep at night, and most of the time he's spending sleeping, because he's so much anxiety, when he's not working, he's sleeping. But when he goes to sleep at night, he only takes up maybe at the most 6 feet of, six, 2 meters of floor space. He thinks he owns the whole world. But the only thing he really needs is 2 meters of floor space to take up when he's asleep. But still he's working so hard. He wants to get some food, but he's so much in distress, he can hardly eat, 3 crackers and a cup of tea. Because of all his ulcers, working so hard to get the money. So he's working hard, he doesn't realize, I'm working so hard in order to eat and have some place to sleep. But, factually speaking, he can eat, and he can't go to sleep at night. The only thing that's really increased in his life is fear, anxiety. That he has plenty of, but he can't get rid of it. So this is called mudha, or ass. So dharma, religious activities, or nartasya, gaining things in the material world, is actually meant for, if one is intelligent, dharmasya aikanta, if he's actually understanding what the purpose of life is, then he doesn't use material gain simply to increase his so-called sense gratification. So here we find that the residents of Vrindavan, that they were understanding what is the purpose of work, even working hard. The purpose of working hard is to please Krishna. And pleasing Krishna, what is the result of pleasing Krishna? Is that one gets the opportunity to associate with Krishna through the memory. One remembers Krishna. And the perfection of that remembrance is called samadhi or trance. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, in that particular verse, first of all, stress that we should understand that we're not proprietors of anything in this material world. That's hard for us to accept. But if we don't accept it, then immediately we're captured by the illusory entity called Maya. Maya means that which is not. If we don't accept that Krishna is the proprietor, then we'll think we're the proprietor. And as soon as we think we're the proprietor, then we misidentify ourselves with this body. And the result of identifying with the body is that we have to suffer. That's called pavargasya. We have to suffer working hard, foam at the mouth, frustration, fear, and ultimately we have to die and come back and do the same thing. So if we don't accept that Krishna is the proprietor, then we have to accept repeated birth and death. Then, accepting repeated birth and death, we may think, well, that's all right. I don't mind. So if I have to, if I'm not the proprietor, Krishna is the proprietor, then why should I work for Krishna? Then the question is, why should I bother doing anything? Let me just react. You know, if Krishna is going to enjoy the whole thing, then why should I bother working for him? Who works for anyone else's enjoyment? Everyone's working for their own enjoyment. Why should I work for Krishna's enjoyment? If he needs, you know, something, then, you know, let him play his flute. Maybe someone will appreciate it and throw a few coins in the box. You know, if Krishna is, you know, under the control of these ladies up there, then let him work. But the point is, or at least our basic point in Krishna consciousness, the foundational point, is that yatāpura mula niṣeśanena trityanti tat gandha bhujo paśāka pranaharat ca yatendriyāna tathāiva sarvānam ātiteja. That Krishna is the root of existence. That everything that's happening is either directly or indirectly coming from Krishna. And therefore, he's compared to the stomach. That if Krishna is happy, then one who's serving, who's made Krishna happy, they also become happy. And if one is not trying to make Krishna happy, then one doesn't partake in Krishna's happiness, one doesn't become aware of Krishna's happiness, and therefore one becomes aware of this bodily essential so-called happiness, and one has to suffer. Pravargasya. If one becomes conscious of Krishna, one becomes conscious of all happiness. If one doesn't become conscious of Krishna, one becomes materially conscious and he has to suffer. So it's for our benefit to try to make Krishna happy, because that's the only way we can actually become happy. And in order to Krishna's happiness means that this energy here should be utilized in Krishna's service. Just like the cashier in the bank, he may count millions and billions of Belgian francs, but still he doesn't claim even one franc for his own self. Now, if we're supposed to act, now how does one know what to do for Krishna? How to utilize that energy? So, just like Arjuna, he had the fortunate opportunity, he could ask Krishna directly on the battlefield of Kurukshetra what to do. So Krishna explained Bhagavad Gita to him. So if we hear Bhagavad Gita, and then try to act according to his instructions, as well as under the directions of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same as Arjuna achieved. That we'll also become free from illusion, and remember, realize that we're Krishna's servants. That it's not simply that those who believe in Krishna, they'll become Krishna's servants, and everyone else will become Allah's servant, or Jehovah's servant, or Bugs Bunny's servant or something. Whoever you believe in, then you'll become their servant. Actually, everyone is Krishna's servant. It's just a question of remembering and getting free from this false conception that we're something other than Krishna's servant. So Arjuna achieved that only by hearing from Krishna and by willing to follow his instructions. Now, Prabhupada says, what is the secret of the whole thing? That Arjuna should become a Madhvaraha devotee of Krishna. Madhvaraha devotee of Krishna means that one has no goal in life save and except act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So that's the secret, very simple secret. One should have no goal in life save and except act in Krishna consciousness with the idea of satisfying Krishna. Same thing repeated time and time again. Satyam satyam yuktanam vajantam pitipurvakam. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, then the dhami bhuti yogam. Now, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So, well, acting in such a way, one should think of Krishna only, that I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. And therefore, one will naturally think of Krishna. So the result of doing this is that we'll think of Krishna. That's our reward. That's our benefit, is to be in Krishna consciousness. After all, that's why they call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because we're supposed to become conscious of Krishna. Now, if one wants to do something whimsically, and then afterwards offer the result of Krishna, that it didn't turn out the way I wanted, maybe Krishna will like it. Result. Why do you take it? No one else to take the result. Why do you take it? My dear Lord, you know. Here's, I cooked in the kitchen today and I burned all the potties. No one will eat them, but, you know, you look pretty hungry. Well, why don't you accept them? You can just glance over. So if one does something whimsically, that sort of duty is having Krishna consciousness. Krishna will accept it. That order of Krishna comes down through the disciples' succession from the bona fide spiritual master, and therefore the bona fide spiritual master's order should be taken as prime duty of life. So if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his directions, then his success in life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So success in life in Krishna consciousness. That our success in life is to become conscious of Krishna in a devotional attitude. So two things are here, Krishna and Krishna's representatives. That we should think, Krishna wants me to do this. But to find out what Krishna wants me to do, I have to understand Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's representatives. So two things, we're generally always afraid that Krishna's representatives are going to misdirect me. Therefore I don't trust anyone. That even I get a spiritual master after some years, I realize he was just an ordinary person also, like everyone else, and I don't trust him. Although I keep my respects to him, but following directions, you know, that may not be very good. As long as he doesn't give me directions, too many directions, he's a nice person, he's a good spiritual master. He starts getting on my case too much, and, you know, that's how I, you know, who does he think he is anyhow? He's probably thinking he's Krishna, just because I, you know, whatever. No, representatives of Krishna means that two things. Krishna's book, Bhagavad Gita, we may read Bhagavad Gita, we may try to understand Bhagavad Gita, we may think we've understood Bhagavad Gita, just like there's a class of persons called, anyhow, there are different philosophies, saying you don't really need any of Krishna's representatives. But as I said before, if you accept that I don't need any of Krishna's representatives, in order to make progress in devotional service, or progress in anything, then I'm accepting that person as my God. One person who said, wrote many books, saying, don't read books. or you also used to say, don't accept anyone as your God. So if you accept his philosophy, then you accept him as your God. So we have to accept someone as our God. Everyone has a God. From the beginning of our birth, you know, our mother, father, was our guide. So everyone has a guide, everyone has to follow. The question is, who are we going to follow? So if one follows Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says there, as well as Krishna's representatives. Krishna's representatives are meant to help us understand what Krishna wants. That's the final purpose, to find out what Krishna's desire is. Of course, Krishna doesn't try and make it really difficult in this age. He says, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But for those who find this too simple, you know, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, that's not philosophical enough. Then Krishna gives us a lot of philosophy, just so eventually one day we can reach the conclusion, after many births of exploring this philosophy, we can chant Hare Krishna, be happy. We can realize, oh, that makes a lot of sense. 15 births ago, I couldn't understand what he was talking about, but now suddenly it's real. I realize it. Yes, I can chant Hare Krishna, be happy. So there's volumes of books to convince us about that, but that's what Krishna wants. And to hear about, to chant Hare Krishna, be happy, we should understand what Krishna is, who Krishna is. So there's Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the deity worship, there is the making our environment into a place where Krishna can be satisfied, there is service to Krishna's representatives. So all these things are to help us understand what Krishna, who is Krishna, what Krishna means, and to try to please Krishna by doing some service for him. So the residents of Vrindavan, they were doing that, therefore they're always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, and they were not in the material world. Here it says Varuna was, Nanda Maharaj was arrested by Varuna, but actually Nanda Maharaj was in the spiritual world because he was always thinking of Krishna. He wasn't experiencing any kind of misery in material existence. Similarly, the other residents in Vrindavan were always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, therefore they're always in the spiritual platform of consciousness, enjoying transcendental happiness. And similarly here, if we're engaged in Krishna's service to please Krishna, then Krishna, the Dhammi Buddhi Ogantam, he'll give us intelligence by which we can think of him always, associate with him intimately on the platform of remembrance, and therefore experience transcendental happiness and not be affected by the Pavargas, by the miseries of material existence. And he says, one who does that, then he gets the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Janma karma tanevivyam, evam yoga tikatina. As Krishna reveals himself, as we've understood the purpose of his appearance and activities, in order to teach people this activities of devotional service, as we've understood it in truth by our own practical devotion, developing our own practical devotional attitude, then we become eligible to go back to the spiritual level of consciousness or to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, just like these other residents of Vrindavan that are mentioned here. So, thank you. Stop there. Any questions? Comment? Yes.
So we might accept this philosophy, and we accept bona fide spiritual mastery, we follow the whole process, but it doesn't necessarily mean we actually feel attachment to Krishna, or we actually want Krishna. So how do we make that change?
How can you say we're following the whole process if we don't want to please
Krishna? Well, externally, you know, we change the air, we do the service, we come for the programs.
Well, do you think the whole process is just external? So part of the process should be internal. So therefore the philosophy is that what we're supposed to do internally. Isn't that right? So what are we supposed to do? If we, Krishna says, you know, think of me and try to do something to please me, priti purvaka. And we say, well, that's all right, you know, I don't want to do that part. I just want to do the first part. Then we're following the process, there'll be some result, but it won't be the full result, because we're only partially following the process. Isn't that right? What do you expect?
If you don't have that pretty proof, then how are you going to get it?
What do you have?
Intellectual understanding, maybe?
Yeah. But what do you intellectually understand?
Well, I suppose I love Krishna, but I don't.
Yeah, but why don't you love Krishna? because you love so many other things. So if you take that some love, that same love you're putting on so many other things, and you put it on Krishna. In other words, if you're doing something, it's maybe for your family, maybe for your body, it could be for your false prestige. So you have love for your family, for your body, for your false prestige. So put that same love for Krishna. Is that possible?
That seems very easy.
Is it possible? Well, we just have to make the effort. If we think, before we do something, why am I doing it? And the mind will say, well, it's not for Krishna. Don't do it for Krishna. We say, well, yeah, it's really too difficult to do it for this person. Then we're just listening to our mind. We're doing it for our mind.
But many times we are so busy with doing so many things. We have no time to sit.
Yeah, so that's called
overwhelmed by the whole situation.
Prayasa. Overendeavor. Prashrama. Prashrama. Working hard without the goal. So, this process is we should do so many things that we forget about what we're doing. Otherwise, it's Atyahara, Prayasa, Cha. Atyahara. Generally, people work too hard because they want more to eat. They think, if I work harder, I'll be able to eat more, get more food, more money, and therefore collecting too much. And therefore there's prayas over endeavor. So if we're working so hard we can't remember Krishna, then we're not going to be in Krishna consciousness. Generally is that we just won't accept that Krishna is God, that's our problem. Therefore, since he's, you know, to work through the idea that I got to please him, we just won't accept it. Will work to a certain extent, maybe out of fear if I don't do, you know, if I don't do this, then maybe I, you know, I'm doing something wrong, or maybe I won't, you know, there'll be some evil, you know, there'll be some problems for me, or it's better to work here than work out in the material world, at least, you know, I won't have to get entangled in all kinds of things. So that's all right. But that's only working for liberation, working for the freedom from the miseries of material existence. But we have an opportunity to also find out how nice Krishna is. Because Prabhupada once told Sasrupa Maharaj, he said, if you love me, then I'll love you too. There'll be a reciprocation. Krishna already loves us. So, but if we love Krishna and try to please him, then he'll reciprocate with us. We'll be able to experience what Krishna's love is like. If we try and give a little of our love to Krishna, then he'll reciprocate and he'll reveal how much he loves us. So that's up to us. If we find it too difficult, then there's many lifetimes to go. We, you know, Krishna is very patient. But if we're not satisfied, then we can try and take that same love we have for so many objects in the material world and just give a little tiny bit to Krishna and see what the result is. If we're afraid that I'm going to love Krishna and he won't pay me back, he won't reciprocate, you know, we're afraid I'm not going to give one drop of love to this person because maybe he'll cheat me, he won't reciprocate, he'll take the drop of love and just absorb it and my love will disappear. Or he'll put it in his pocket and, you know, he'll just accumulate a huge amount of love and never give anything back. So just give one drop at a time and see what happens. If he doesn't reciprocate that drop, then just go and complain. Ask for it back. Yes.
When you refer to the secret succession, at some point it was referring to like one person, like the spiritual master representative, and then at other moments you talked in plural, like representatives of the secret succession. So I was wondering if you could elaborate more.
We both have to be there. In our context, anyone who's repeating Krishna's message and performing service to Krishna is a representative of Krishna. In proportion to their constant engagement and their worship of Krishna's love. That real, natural representative of Krishna means one who's actually absorbed or we're representatives of Krishna. Generally, it says the three levels. One is Kanishtha Adhikara, Madhyama Adhikara, and Uttama Adhikara. Depending upon how much consistently one is engaged in devotional service, and how much one is doing it unmotivatedly simply to please Krishna. As I said, between those three levels. So, and according to how, what level we're on, we're then we're representing Krishna. Now, in order to understand that, because generally the neophyte devotee can't really see very clearly who's on what level, therefore there is the simple succession and there is formal initiation, so that at least, theoretically, we accept that this person is representative of Krishna. Because otherwise, you know, neophyte devotee will accept people as representative of Krishna if they please him. Just like it was one spiritual master in our society, he liked ice cream and 7-Up. So many people in his particular zone, they chose him at least as Shiksha Guru, because that way they could offer their ice cream and their 7-Up to him. So that's not exactly what we mean by, you know, representative Krishna. But in any case, we understand that for especially those, not only neophytes, but anyone, we have to choose someone who's actually representing Krishna and follow him. Now, if we think that only the person I took initiation from, only he's a representative of Krishna, then we'll get into a lot of trouble. Because the real fact is that anyone who's serving Krishna, anyone who's trying to please Krishna, they're representative of Krishna in proportion to their absorption in devotional service. So the spiritual master's main job is to teach me how to see things in relation to Krishna. So if I think only my spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, then either he hasn't trained me, or I haven't heard what he had to say, or I heard what he had to say, I just didn't like it. It's rather than accept it. Therefore, there are so many representatives of Krishna, but still we have to have some standard to understand who's representative. So, even above our spiritual master is Shastra, but we can't jump over the spiritual master to Shastra generally, because otherwise, you know, we'll probably get ourselves into trouble. Yes?
So, you were
framing
that there's a difference between seeing different devotees as representative of Krishna according to the level of advanced neophyte, you know, like that. And on the other hand, you also have like positions like initiating spiritual master, because then you
formality there too.
So then in that sense I was thinking also like all those authorities who are in a superior position to us are in one way representative of Krishna, not just initiating spiritual master, but those devotees who are in different positions of authority, they are representing Krishna in our eyes, if we're in a superior position.
To help us understand who's representing. Yeah, we have to practice serving higher authorities. Different, you know. In the Veda culture, you may have your spiritual master, but you also respect your father, your mother, you respect the teachers, you respect, you know, the king, you respect so many people. Not that I only respect my spiritual master and everyone else is more or less in my. So it's generally because we have no upbringing in culture. We're not cultured at all. We've had an animal upbringing, or less than animal upbringing. We don't like our fathers and mothers, but to speak respect, you know, and they don't really, you know, they haven't trained us, and we haven't been trained. We haven't been properly trained. Therefore, the heads of government, the teachers in school, our own parents. You know, we haven't been trained to respect anyone. And therefore we come to the Hare Krishna movement, and therefore at least one person we're taught to respect a little bit. And so that one person, we give them a little respect, and they have to try and help us learn how to respect others too. Otherwise, where are we going to learn from? We haven't learned in the past. Who are we going to learn from? On the other hand, if we cut off our respect to everyone, no one's respectful, which is sometimes we find that even in our society now, that don't trust anyone. You know, everything, it was just a formality. Then if that person, whoever we gave trust to, doesn't train us how to respect the other authorities, then we won't trust anyone. And ultimately, we don't even trust ourselves. The only thing we'll trust is our mind. And well, our mind said, what are you wasting your time on Hare Krishna movement? You know, go find, you know, go outside and find someone else to love. And my old say, yes, here I am again. You left me, but I have never abandoned you. Welcome home, back home. Back to Maya. I'll be, you know, back in our parents' house again. Mother said, I told you it was a kid. Told you it was a deal of symptom when all your hair came out, you know. Anything else? Yeah. Well, we've been here for more than one birth, believe it or not. No, we have plenty of time to return. We realize we're eternal, then we can be patient. If we don't realize we're eternal, then we'll always be impatient. We'll never have enough time. But if we're eternal, then we have some time. And then we can have the patience to hear, to try and understand what's going on. And then when we actually understand and follow what's going on, then we can get the result. And then we'll become enthusiastic. Or at least we'll understand we have to enthusiastically engage in Christian service. But first we have to be a little patient. Because, and sometimes we're discouraged from being too patient. That's to be a little balanced. Thinking, well, I have so many lifetimes to go, why hurt? But we have to be patient in the sense that we can become discouraged from following the process. For there was a sentence we read the other day that in the GBC minutes that even if one tries but doesn't get the whole, he can't follow completely, still suspicious Krishna consciousness will be there even proportionally how much we try. The Krishna says in that verse that even if one is not able to follow strictly, still if he's not envious and he tries sincerely, then he'll gradually make progress. We have to see what the goal is, but we can't think that, you know, the goal, if I don't get it immediately, why bother for it? That's modern society. If, you know, what's the quickest way to get there? If I have a headache, what's the quickest way to get rid of it? I don't want to suffer at all, I just want to enjoy it. So I'll take whatever is available, whatever medicine, it doesn't matter what the effect is for your medicine, just pop the pill in. So I'll take a pill and go to sleep. Take a pill to wake up, take another pill to counteract the other pills they just took. And then I find out that, you know, my kidneys just disappear. I take another pill to, you know, function for my kidneys for a while. You know, and then we don't get it because we're too impatient. We don't want to take the pussy, the actual austerity. Therefore it says, Krishna said, Yatarabha Vishami Vaparinami Tokama. That's the concept to come from Atma Bhuti Prasadaka. That which in the beginning is bitter like poison, at the end is just like nectar, which awakens one to self-realization, to take the happiness to motive goodness. So we don't mind getting whatever little nectar we can at first. We don't care about the unhappiness that comes afterwards. But we won't hit the unhappiness first and get permanent happiness afterwards. So patience means we have to accept a little tapasya. And then, you know, it's hoped for and expect that in the future there will be some happiness and pleasure and satisfaction afterward. Thank you very much. Prabhupada Rashima Bhagavatam, Kigai, Shiva Prabhupada, Kigai, Bhagavatam, Kigai, 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 Kigai,